I am sure that all of you are sure you know the answer to the question of the day. Why do we work? We work to get paid. We work for the money. We work to get that paycheck because we all have bills. And there is truth to that. And yet I think about a famous professional football coach who said that his first job upon taking his new position was to find out the players who only worked for the paycheck. The implication was those kids who just worked for the paycheck were missing a dimension of their work that was vitally important. That when you work for something beyond just a paycheck, you are opening yourself up to a dimension of joy, to an expression of gratitude, to an awareness of privilege that those who work merely for a paycheck cannot know. When we use our gifts with all of our energy, with all of our passion, with a great sense of purpose, we open ourselves up to a dimension of joy and gratitude and profound sense of privilege. Many of you like mysteries. I hope you are aware of the great British writer Dorothy Sayers, wonderful mystery writer who became a lay theologian in her later years. And in the depth of World War II, was addressing a group of British workers. And she said to them, as horrible as this time is, it has taught us something important about the nature of work. It's no longer a question of how much am I getting paid. It's a question of, am I making something useful to winning this war? And am I making it to the best of my ability? She said it does no good to send a tank out on the battlefield that won't work. In these perilous times, she said, we now know that our work is meaningful because every effort contributes to winning our liberty and freedom. And then she asked the question, after the war, will we remember these lessons, or will everybody go back to thinking, how much am I getting paid? She said, there remain two questions to ask about our work. Are we doing something useful? And are we doing it to the best of our ability? Those two questions hold the key to much of our life's satisfaction. Why do we work? We work because we are made in the image of God. Male and female, He created us. He put the divine stamp of creation upon us. And what does God do in God's nature? God creates. God works in the universe to create conditions whereby God's creatures can know fulfillment and joy. When we use our abilities, when we pour out our talents, when we create something beautiful, when we accomplish something moving, when we benefit another life, when we transform our world for the better, we are mirroring the divine imprint upon our lives. We are mimicking the very character of God. When we work doing something useful, doing something that is in accordance with our talents, doing something that brings us joy in the doing it, we give glory to God. Our work becomes an expression of gratitude to God for the privilege of being God's servants.
And in that situation, we don't work to live. We live to work.
Oh, Dr. Krimmer, it's way too idealistic. I don't think so. My former music minister in Rome, Alan Wingard, was the longtime dean of the fine arts department at Shorter, and he loved to talk about a colleague of his with whom he worked for decades. She and her husband literally crawled out of Hungary during the Nazi invasion of her country. She made her way to New York, and this incredibly accomplished musician sent out job applications everywhere, and she heard from two places. Dr. Wingard's alma mater, the University of Alabama, and Shorter College. She knew nothing about either place, so she asked her friends, "What should I do?" And they said, "To live in Georgia will be very hard, but to live in Alabama would be intolerable." So she took the job at Shorter and poured her life into training pianists, wonderful pianists, with a passion and a professionalism that far exceeded her pay level. Because giving of her talent was her way of expressing gratitude to God for her life and her freedom and the privilege to use her gifts. But Dr. Krimmer, this woman taught piano. I mean, is that really God's work? Yes. Yes. As the poet Gerald Manley Hopkins once wrote, "You can glorify God in sawing a log, whitewashing a wall, sweeping a street, carrying a slop bucket. When we do it with the right attitude, when we do it with the right sense of privilege unto God." We talk about ministers being called to positions. But that very word, call, comes from the Latin word voca, the same root for the word vocal. Same root for the word vocation. Everyone's call to a vocation is a call of God. Whether you are a teacher or a therapist or a student or a cook, regardless of what you do, when you do it in response to the voca, to the call of God, you are embracing a vocation that is divinely blessed. The scripture for the day makes this point clear. The Lord says to Moses, "I have called by name Bezalel." Now, Moses did some pretty impressive stuff. He challenged Pharaoh. He won his people's freedom. He split the Red Sea. He received the Ten Commandments. But when it came time to build the tabernacle, God said, "I have chosen Bezalel. I don't want you anywhere near the construction site." Bezalel, he says, "I have given knowledge, I have given craftsmanship, I have given intelligence, I have given skill in cutting wood and cutting stones and doing all of this mechanical stuff." For all we know, Moses was a mechanical klutz. They didn't want him anywhere near the construction site. He may have done some great stuff, but mechanical expertise was not his forte. "I have called Bezalel." Bezalel's vocation was to build the tabernacle, not Moses.
Each of us has our own gifts. Each of us has our own talents. And when we pour them out in response to God's call, we make our work into a worship of our Lord. Now, I will say, in honesty, not all work brings us great pleasure. There are times when our work is a drudgery. There are mornings when all of us struggle to get out of bed for that class, to get out of bed to go to work. The Bible speaks to that too. Part of the fallenness of the world, says God. Cursed be the earth, and out of your suffering and your sweat, you shall win your bread from it. But that's a part of the fallenness of the world. It's part of the fallenness of the world. There are people who are trying to find work commensurate with their talent, and they cannot do it. There are people who are trying to find work and cannot find a job that allows them to use their skills. That's part of the fallenness of creation. But it's not God's intent. From my office in Rome, was the window looked out on the playground where the preschool children played. So every day I was allowed to watch them at play. They'd be digging holes, carrying rocks, trying to build things with blocks, and playing school. And everyone would be fighting to be the teacher. And it occurred to me as I watched those children, what we call work was their play. Sometimes when I'm on vacation down at the beach, suddenly a sermon idea comes to me, and I grab a piece of paper and pen, start writing. Am I on vacation? Sure. Am I working? Yes, sermon work's hard work. But I am also at play. I'm using the skills that God gave me, the inspiration that the Spirit provided, to do something that brings me joy. Now, there is a relationship between work and time. And my best example of this is the last day of school before Christmas vacation. On that last day of school before Christmas vacation, the teachers know no learning is going to take place. The best you can hope for is to keep the kids from killing each other. And the teachers are watching the clock. And the students are watching the clock. And it's as if those arms on the clock never move. But on certain days, when the spirit of receptivity has fallen upon the class and the teacher is in a great mood and power and learning takes place, the minutes and the hours fly by. There's a great example of this in the Bible. Jacob asked Laban for Rachel's hand, and he says, yeah, you can marry her, but you have to work for 7 years. And Genesis 29:20 says, and the years were like days to him because of his love for Rachel. That is so beautiful and so true. When we lose ourselves in our work, time passes, and hours become minutes, and years become days when we lose ourselves in the privilege of giving what we have. It's football weekend, so I can't avoid a football reference to a coach that's well known, Mike Ditka. Used to coach the Chicago Bears. Mike Ditka once said, my whole goal in life was to win a championship, make a ton of money, and retire and play golf every day. won a Super Bowl, made more money than he could spend, retired, played golf every day. And then came the realization, golf was not his life. Coaching was his life. He went to his wife and he said, "My 9-iron is getting better, but my life is getting worse." And he went and found himself another coaching job. Jesus would lose track of time. He healed a suffering man on the Sabbath. And one of his critics said, "Why did you heal on the Sabbath day? It's against the law." And Jesus answered, "The Father is still working, and I am working too." My friends, whatever your talent, whatever your skill, whatever your call, go into the world and invest what God has given you to embody the kingdom, to transform lives, and to express your love for God. By so living, you will glorify the Creator who has given you life as you labor in the fields with the Spirit of God. May we pray together. Lord, you've given each of us talent. You have called each of us to our own vocation. May we lose ourselves in the giving of ourselves, and in so doing find ourselves through our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.